Well, Rhode Island may not have any mountains, but we are still called to live out the same purpose, and that is to go and tell it. That's why our mission here at our church is to call all people to love God, to follow Jesus, and to serve others. And I certainly hope that you guys are living on mission. You guys can have a seat. Well, for those who don't know, my name is Rick. It's my privilege to be able to be the pastor here. And we are just so thankful, grateful for you guys in this Christmas season. You know, I was just thinking this morning, I couldn't be more proud of our church family. And I couldn't be more proud to say that I get to be a part of this church family. As you, many of you have responded in such generous ways. You have heard of people who needed prayer and you responded. You heard of people who needed some financial assistance. And many of you just said, hey, give this to a family who needs help at Christmas time. And what a blessing it has been, our team to be able to show up and say, hey, somebody at CCF just loves you, is caring and praying for you, and was just open to whatever God would have them do, and to be able to give that blessing to so many families. And, you know, as a church, we've been able to help some families who couldn't pay their rent. And this has just been huge. And again, all this is because of you and your generosity. So thank you for the way that you are encouraging other people in their faith. And in fact, today in this teaching series, it's called Switch. It's this idea that God has called us to live differently, to make a switch. If you're a Christ follower, God has called us to live in a different way, to make some changes in our life. Now, with Christmas just around the corner, actually, it's just in a few days, so it's not around the corner, it's like right there, right? And so, here's my question. Our opening question this morning is, have you ever received a gift that you really didn't want, right? Okay, I mean, you know what that's like. You're on Christmas morning, right? And you open up. It's got your name on it, so you have to open it. You open it up, and you're like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's like that awkward, like, how do I pretend I like this or that I wanted this? And you're thinking of how am I going to use it? You don't know what you're going to do with that, right? But we've all kind of been in that place at some point. But if you've ever been to what they call a white elephant exchange, have you ever done one of those before? That is so much fun. Zoe and I have been able to be a part of one of those every year, except this year, but every year prior to this, and maybe up here, maybe you know it as a Yankee swap, and so it's when you show up with a gift that you didn't want, that you did get, you rewrap it, and you're trying to get rid of it, right? But you have to pick one of those things. They're underneath the tree. You go to the tree, and you pick up, and you're just like, oh, I really don't want this. I know I don't want it. You open up, and you're like, yeah, I didn't want this thing, but you got to go home with it, right? There was a time when in elementary school, I can still remember this like yesterday, I was in second grade, two of my peers in my class in second grade, Mark and Mickey. Mark came from a family that had some means, and they had the exchange. It was a Christmas party, and so everybody exchanged names. Mark and Mickey had exchanged names, and they were exchanging gifts right here in front of the entire class. And Mark hands over his gift to Mickey, and Mickey opens up a remote control car. I mean, second grade, you got to think about that. That's like the most amazing gift you can get, right? And Mickey came from a family that didn't have very much means, but his mom had sewn a pillow with a character on it, and Mickey gave that to Mark. And I saw something happen as a second grade boy I knew was wrong. I watched Mark. His face turns red. He got so angry. And then I saw water start coming out of his eyes. And then I saw him stand up and he takes that pillow and he yells this in front of the whole class. I got you a remote control car and all you got me was this pillow. And he whizzes it across the room. I'll never forget that. Because I knew that even if I got a gift I didn't want, that was not the way to react. And I wonder how many times when we receive something from God in our life and we react like Mark does. We get this in our life. It has our name on it. It's our lot. And we get angry at God. We look at him and say, how could you do this to me? And we want to throw it back at him. Well, there's another way to react to hurt, to pain, to suffering. And that's this. We're going to see this right in our text this morning. Suffering can produce a flourishing faith and a growing love. It's possible for that hurt that showed up in your life to actually bring about a flourishing faith. It's possible for this to actually to show up in your life and to bring out a love for other people that you never knew was there. It's, you know, how many times have you went through something in life and you hated it? You would have never wished it upon anybody, but you look back at it and you think, oh, actually, now I'm kind of glad. You know, you're not like glad, like happy glad, but you can learn. You've learned from that, and it was helpful. Or maybe it changed the whole trajectory of where you went into the future. Well, this morning, I want you to hear from one of our partners, a family, Peter Blasi. Peter Blasi, this happened to him. And so, listen to his story.
Hey, CCF. My name is Peter Blasi. This is an example of something that happened in my life that at the time that it happened, I thought was really negative and bad. But as time has gone by, I realized that it might have been a blessing in disguise. My perspective has definitely changed. So right out of high school, I joined the Army for 4 years. I was active duty, and when I was coming to the end of my time in the Army, I knew I wanted to go to college. I had some money from the Army to go to college, and at the time, my younger brother was going to Rhode Island College. So I said, I'm going to go to Rhode Island College. I didn't know what I wanted to study. I just knew I wanted to be in college. So when I got out of the Army, I started at Rhode Island College. Well, about 3 weeks into the first semester, I had this fluke injury. A piece of wood ended up breaking off in my left foot. I had to have emergency surgery. I was on bed rest. I had visiting nurses coming to my house every day. And I had to drop out of college. And I was upset. I was devastated because my momentum just stopped. And I can remember when I was on bed rest, my neighbor just happened to stop by. And I remember she was telling me about CCRI and that she had a really good experience at CCRI. So I said, you know what, maybe I'll give them a call. So I called and I spoke to a veterans counselor there. We picked some classes. In the next semester, I started at CCRI. Well, I had to take my general classes, and one of them was art. And the thing about art was they just had a big art room with all easels, and you could go in there and just work at any time. So I remember I went in there to work one day, and this girl was sitting next to me, and I definitely noticed her. I was a little shy. But I remember we started talking. And we talked for like an hour. I felt there was this connection. And I remember saying to her, I said, oh, I'll see you around. Well, I never saw her again in any of my classes. And that point's important. We'll get back to that. So I start progressing through my classes at CCRI. It was a great experience. I got the best grades of my life. I was able to get a scholarship to URI. Things were going good. And so, the counselor that helped pick my classes with me, the veterans counselor, she came to me and she's like, Peter, promise me that you'll graduate from CCRI, that you'll go to the ceremony. And I was like, no, I don't want to. It's no big deal. I'm going to URI. She's like, promise me you will. She's like, not a lot of people go. And I'm like, all right, I'll go. So I remember I was a little upset because I had to go for a rehearsal day and then I actually had to go to the graduation day. So I go to this rehearsal day. I'm sitting in this room and in walks this girl. And I definitely noticed her. And she kind of sat kind of on an angle from me. And I remember noticing her. I didn't talk to her. I was a little shy. So that was the rehearsal day. The next day at graduation, I remember I saw her again. She got set up right in front of me for graduation. I remember seeing her with all her family, but I still didn't talk to her. Well, about 2 weeks after graduation, I remember I was supposed to work. I was working at a waiter as a waiter at the time, and I got a phone call saying that they didn't need me that night. So I was like, all right. So literally, we didn't have cell phones. It was a house phone. My house phone rang, and it was a friend of mine inviting me to a concert in Providence. It's kind of a random call. So I was like, yeah, sure, let's go. So I remember I went to this concert in Providence, and when we get there, I'm sitting there and I see this girl walking, and I'm like, that's the girl from CCRI, from graduation. I gotta go talk to her. So So I kind of make my way through. I point to her. I'm like, hey, you from CCRI? And we both kind of recognized each other. And we started talking. And we hung out and talked that whole night. Well, in the course of our conversation, we both realized that we had met almost 2 years early in the art room, which was crazy. So to make a long story short, she's now my wife. We've been together 20 years. We have 3 children. When we started dating back then, she was a member of CCF. So I started coming to CCF at that time. And then to kind of circle back to school, back then I had, from CCR, I went to URI. I studied environmental science. I love science. From URI, I went and worked for the Department of Environmental Management as a fisheries researcher. And then by going to CCRI and URI, I still had a little bit of money left over from the Army. So after I finished my time with the DEM, I went back to school at Rhode Island College, and the Army helped pay for that to get my teacher certification. And now I'm a middle school science teacher. So going back to the very beginning, when that piece of wood broke off of my foot, I was devastated. I was upset. And because I had a plan, and my plan, it came to a crossroads, and I started going down this other path that I didn't really want to go. Looking at it now, I have been blessed more than I can ever imagine, and I've just learned to really trust in God. So hopefully you enjoyed this story or in this example. Thanks for watching, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's Peter. But you know, and one thing I can say about Peter, that Peter's faith has flourished. He continues to grow in his faith. In fact, yesterday when I was talking to him on the phone, he said, you know, Rick, when you asked me to share that story, it made me go back and think about all the different ways. Because he said he was at a little bit of a lull. He had a hard week. The past couple of weeks had been really hard for him. But when I challenged him to think about some of his stories, he said, it encouraged me to think about where I was. And so he said it kind of reignited my faith. And you probably have a story like that as well. Because this is true. Suffering can produce a flourishing faith and a growing love for others. Let's go to our scriptures in 2 Thessalonians. We're still in Thessalonians. It's a different letter. We were in the first letter he wrote, 1 Thessalonians, that the Apostle Paul wrote to this group of people in this city called Thessalonica. So there's only a few months. It's not like there's not a whole lot of time in between the first and second. So just think a couple of months. But what I love about Paul is, man, he just continues, even though he can't be there with them, he continues to make sure that they are encouraged in their faith. And here's what he says. Drop down to verse number 3. Let's pick up the reading in verse number 3. It says, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you. So remember who this is. This is the Apostle Paul with his team of Silas and Timothy and others, I'm sure, who are there with him on his team. But he's like, man, we are constantly saying thank you to God for you. Why? Because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. Now, when we think about something that flourishes and when we think about something that actually grows, you think, well, the soil has to be just right. And as he's thinking about this, you know, stop and ask yourself, what ingredients have to be in the soil for something to flourish, for something to actually grow? And when we think about faith, we probably think, well, things must have to be going pretty good for them. I mean, everybody's probably employed. Finances probably aren't an issue. I mean, people are probably responding to the good news message that Jesus loves you. You know, this is what a lot of people may think when they hear somebody's faith is flourishing, that everything in their life is just going really well. The very next verse will tell us exactly what's going on. Here's what it is. He says, we proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and your faithfulness. And see the highlighted part? In all of your persecutions and your hardships that you are suffering. Now hold it. What? Their faith is flourishing. Their love for others is growing, and things aren't going easy for them. You mean they're getting diagnosis about their health that's not good. You mean some of them are losing their jobs. You mean their world is turned upside down, and their faith is flourishing, and their love for others is growing. And Paul says we are telling the other churches about your endurance, about your faithfulness, that in the persecutions and in the hardships that you are suffering, that this is what's happening in your life. And so what do we pull from this? That suffering, in your suffering, is really a time that it can flourish. So instead of grabbing the pillow and wanting to whiz it back, why don't you hold on to it? It may not be. See, here's the problem. So many of us will receive the gift, and then, because we don't like the gift, we don't like what we got, we value our life based off of the value of what we think the gift is for. When God means it for good, when God means it to help your faith to grow, when He means it for your love for other people to actually grow in difficult times. He continues in verse 5, God will use this persecution to show His justice. This is so important. So many times when we think that we are being attacked, we think we need to get them back. We think that somehow that we've got to think of how do we retaliate against them. They can't do this to me. Oh man, you wait and you scheme. But no. The Christ follower says this: God will use this persecution to show His justice. You see, the perspective of a Christ follower is that justice will come in God's timing. And notice this too. So God will use this persecution to show His justice and to make you worthy of His kingdom for which you are suffering. Again, I go back to Jesus' very words when He was here on the earth teaching in Matthew. And He was teaching through what they called the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. And He says, you can count on this. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted for My name's sake. There's going to be some ridicule. And again, I know I've said this. We here in the U.S. don't really understand what it means to suffer for Jesus. But you know what some of our partners do? They are in countries where it's illegal to say that you believe in the name of Jesus. We are, even with some of those partners that are here in the States and they're working with people from other countries that come to the States, The way that their families will do that whole shaming them because that's the culture that they grew up in, that's persecution for your faith. When you tell your family and they disown you, you tell your family that you believe in Jesus, that you worship Him, and then you go tell it on the mountain, and then they disown you. They pretend like you're not even a part of their family anymore. You see, that's persecution. And Paul says, don't try and take it upon yourself to repay. He says this, in His justice, in God's justice, He will pay back those who persecute you. Just understand this, whatever persecution or whatever hardship or suffering or pain, just know this, that God is in control. That He is the one, that everything comes under, falls under His control. Now, notice what He will provide, what God will provide. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted. Did you see that? So, in your hard times, in your pain, in your suffering, He does promise to provide a rest. And He says, for those who are being persecuted, and also for us. So Paul's writing this because Paul understands what this is. And you know, I've told you that there are three words, themes that continue to come up that showed up in the first letter he wrote, and here they show up again. This idea of faith, love, and hope. And hope is right here because after he says this, he says, and you who are being persecuted, and also for us, when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven, He will come with His mighty angels. Last week we talked about the hope of the second advent. And that's what he's pointing to. That's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, we have this hope. So rest will come either now or rest will come. He's like, I'm confident, I promise you this, rest will come when Jesus comes back. And justice will happen when Jesus comes back. You can count on it. This is a confident hope that we hold on to. So what are we to do in between? Paul says, we keep on praying for you. That's what we're to do. We are to pray. You know, we continue to let people know how they can be praying for others in our church. You know, when we have the opportunity, we send out an email. We don't get everyone, but we do our best to try and get the word out. Hey, pray for this person. And this is why we do this, because Paul modeled this. Paul's here is writing saying, hey, we are praying for you. And we are asking, what does Paul say here? Paul's prayer is the same prayer that you and I need to be praying. Asking God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. Hey, here's our prayer. God, will you be with that family? Will you be with that person that they will not lose faith, that they will not be discouraged and somehow think that you are mad at them or somehow turn this around? And instead, God, we are praying that they will see themselves worthy and that they will understand that this suffering can actually be a part of helping their faith to flourish and their love for others to grow. Watch. He says, so not only are we to be praying that God will work like that in their life, he says, and may God give you the power. That's the Holy Spirit that resides in you. So he's praying for those people who are experiencing hardship and hard times. He's asking God, give them the power to what? Accomplish it just to make it through it? No. This is what I love about Paul. Look what he says here. He says, not just to make it through it, not just to continue to be faithful, but to accomplish all the good things that our faith prompts you to do. So in your suffering, you should continue to look for ways, what? To love other people, to grow, to serve other people. That's why in our mission here, to call all people to love God, to follow Jesus, and to serve others. Every Christ follower, whether you're in the room or you're online, we all have a call to next step, to serve others all the time. Not just when things are going easy. And here's what happens. And this can be so difficult sometimes. We go through the thick of it. We're in our own pain and our own hurt. And all of a sudden we get this inward focus. Paul says, no, don't be like that. You need to keep an ear to the Holy Spirit, because even in your hurt, even in your pain, God will call you to live out your faith to somebody else, to serve somebody else. Instead of being so inwardly focused, there's something that's healthy about this. And it's healthy for you so that you don't become so inwardly focused, to keep your eyes on someone else. Is that how you go through suffering? See, when we go through our hurt, our pain, when we go through hard times, it really can be a time for our faith to flourish and a time for us to serve other people. Now, he goes on and he says, look what happens when you and I live like this, when Christ followers live like this. He says, and then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way that you live. You can bring honor to God in the very way that you live out your life. Did you catch that? Some people wonder, well, how can I actually bring honor to God? Live a life of a flourishing faith and serve others. It's so simple. Love God, love others. You can't get any more simple than this. And here he's saying that when you live that way, you are actually honoring God. And then he says, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible, not because of you, not because you tried hard. This is all made possible because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is all possible because of God's grace. And do you know what? Jesus suffered here. His family suffered. In the Christmas story, we have suffering. You stop and think about the Christmas story and about Mary. I mean, just think about the suffering that she went through. Think about the ridicule. Think about the awkward looks. Think about her going to her parents and saying to her mom and dad, Mom and dad, I'm pregnant. But I haven't been with Joseph. I mean, come on. They're looking at her like, yeah, right, what? What do you mean? You haven't been with Joseph, but yet you're pregnant. This doesn't make sense. I mean, you stop and think about her dreams. Mary, as a girl, her dreams were just crashed. Because, again, they lived in an honor-shame society. The way that people would continue probably to look at her, those awkward looks that Mary would take as she would walk down the street holding baby Jesus' hand. People wondering, whose baby is that really? I mean, you think about what she went through. But then, right here in Matthew chapter 2, and in verse 13, we're going to pick up on a small part because I want you to see this. Look at the continued suffering that would happen, that Mary and Joseph. Remember when the Magi went to Herod and said, hey, where's this king that has been born? And Herod had no idea. And so he sends them out. He says, hey, you go find and come back and tell me. And they said, all right. So they go and find where baby Jesus is. And baby Jesus may not have been an infant. He could have been up to 2 years old. So maybe he's a toddler. Maybe he's walking around now, right? But they came bringing gifts, right? And notice what happens when they leave. When the Magi leave, and in verse number 13, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he said, get up and flee Egypt. What? Now hold on. They've already, because of the whole census thing, they've already ended up in this town. That they're not, that they originated from, his ancestry was there. But that's not like where their family was. They're, right? And so now they're called to go to another country. And can you imagine? It's just one more hard thing after another. So, and he says, get up and flee to Egypt. Refugees in the country of Egypt. Take his mother, the angel said, and stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod's going to search for the child to kill him. And then we know that Herod, in that region, in that area, went out to try and take out every two-year-old and down, every male baby. And then it goes on, that night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. And they stayed there until Herod's death. That was 3 years. 3 years on the run as refugees. Think about that. Showing up in a country. But think about this. How in that suffering that God provided. Because here's what I know. God will provide in your pain, in your hurt, whatever the struggle, finance, whatever it is, somehow He will provide. They were already a poor family, Mary and Joseph. And we know that by their offering that they offered at the temple. Because you were supposed to offer a lamb, but for those who were of the poor, they could do turtle doves. So they could offer to make it available for every person. That's what they offered, were two doves as their offering when they brought this dedication of baby Jesus. So how did they survive for 3 years? Remember what the Magi showed up with? Gifts. Gifts enough for a king. Fit for a king. People believe, Bible scholars believe, that that's how they survived in Egypt for those 3 years, from the gifts that were given to them, from that Magi that came, that gold, that myrrh, and that frankincense. They think that, see, God provided in the suffering. And here's what we know, that God will provide in your suffering. We see this time and time again. And so, suffering can produce a flourishing faith and a growing love if you will allow it, if you don't grab the pillow and throw it back. Will you do that? Christ followers, I'm talking to you. Will you allow this? I mean, come on. 2020 has been one of the hardest times ever. This has been a hard year, at least in my lifetime. This is a time for your faith to flourish. This is a time to see God work like never before. This is a time where you can actually love other people. Even when they mean harm for you, you can repay evil with good. That's what he calls us to do. Take out your connection card. If you're online, there's a connection link for the connection card. Just click on that. The next steps will come up. If you're in the room, the connection card is right inside your bulletin. The very first one is targeting you as a Christ follower. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then maybe you find yourself in this situation. And you're like, Rick, please pray for me. It's that you would say, I need God's power to accept my current suffering as a gift so my faith can flourish and my love for others can grow. We want to pray for you that way this week. Our team is going to gather this week, and we would love to be praying for you. If it's easier for you, whether you're in the room or whether you're online, if it's easier for you just to text the word pray, to 401-496-9710. Just go ahead and do that. And that way we will know how we can be praying for you and what you are going through. The other next step is for the person maybe who's listening online, or maybe you're here in this room and you would say, Rick, I don't understand what it means. You know, you were singing these songs about Jesus being the Savior. You don't understand that. That's what this one's for. You'd say, I don't understand what it means to say that Jesus is my Savior. I would welcome a call to discuss that. We would love to be able to reach out to you, and here's how we can get in touch with you. If you would text the word trust to that same phone number, will you do that? We would love to be able to have that discussion, that conversation with you, so that you can know Jesus as your Savior, but also so that when you are going through the thick of it, this is a time for your faith to flourish and for your love for others to grow. Father, I pray that you will do a work among all of us. God, you know, we've been praying all week long that you, Holy Spirit, would speak to people. We know, God, I know I can't, but God, I know that you can. And Father, we pray that as we declared who you were or who you are through song, God, we are asking that for that person that needs to understand you as Savior, that you'll do that, draw them, give them eyes to see and ears to hear. And may today be the day of salvation for them and for every Christ follower who's struggling. And God, what a year. You know our year. You know how hard it's been. But Jesus, you said this is a time for our faith to flourish and our love for others to grow. Make that happen. May we accept it as a gift. And may we see how much you love and value us, that you bring this into our life so that our faith will run deeper. God, do this work, we pray in Jesus' name.